This episode is sponsored by Verisk Marketing Solutions. The future of consumer experience requires a deeper data-driven understanding of identity, behavior, and privacy. Join marketing leaders and industry execs at the VIA 2023 Consumer Insights and Experience Summit, September 18th and 19th in Chicago's Fulton Market District. They'll explain how they can future-proof their businesses and do right by their customers with you. Spots are limited. Register now at marketing.verisk.com/via.
Inflation is a really big piece of it. A lot of it, too, is the kind of measurement challenges that we see in lots of areas that are driving lots of incremental spending. So things like retail media, things like social video, and also a lot of kind of uncertainty hanging over the web display markets.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Great Big Advertising Media and Retail Quiz of the Month, July 2023, a special episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by Verisk Marketing Solutions. This is our monthly show that discusses the biggest trends of the moment and the newest research and bundles it up into a quiz with some analysis sprinkled in. I'm your host, Marcus Johnson. Let's get to it. How does this episode work? Well, it's a big game show. Every month, three of our analyst teams, one, media and advertising, two, retail, and three, social marketing and tech, compete against each other. We're keeping a running score, and at the end of the year, we'll crown a winning team who will win a gift card each and, of course, claim the crown jewel of professional sports, the Victoria Cup, a trophy designed in pottery class by our very own Victoria, who edits the show. The quiz, you guys didn't seem too interested in the prizes, I'm not going to lie. That's sad.
I've already destroyed some family heirlooms to make space for the Victoria Cup, so.
As you should.
Is that excited enough?
So the quiz has three rounds. I never used that. Spoiled for multiple choice and closest wins. The person with the most points at the end of the game wins the gold medal and three super duper points for their team's running total. Second place takes the silver and two super duper points. Third place gets you a measly one super duper point. Why even bother at that point? All right, let's meet this month's contestants who are representing the different teams I mentioned earlier. We start with a chap from the digital advertising and media team, senior analyst based out of Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Max Willens.
Yo.
There he is, representing the retail team, senior analyst from the south coast of England, is of course Karina Perkins.
Hello.
Hello there. And finally, we have co-team captain of the social marketing and tech team, principal analyst based out of New Jersey. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Yuri Wormser.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, fella. How did it go last time, Yuri? I can't remember how many points you got.
I think I came out on top last time I was on.
Uh-oh. Fighting words. He did. He did indeed win the gold. But it's all to play for this time. Listeners, you can be your own team. Keep track of your points total and match your score against these three folks at the end to see if you beat them. Speaking of scores, let's check in on the overall team scores thus far. We started this quiz in April, so after three rounds, digital advertising and media is last with 5 points. Sorry, Max, hopefully you can bring that back. Social marketing and tech, Yuri's team is next with 6 and out in front for now. See if Karina can hang on to that lead is retail with 7 super duper points. That's the overall super duper points scores. We, of course, start in-game scores with everyone on 0. Stuart, who runs the team, will be keeping score of the game, of course. Let's play. Round 1. I never news that. In this round, we discuss the biggest stories of the moment with a question tied to each. Folks have 5 seconds to send their answers via Slack. 1 point for a correct answer. There are 4 questions in this round. First story, first related question, and we're talking about Amazon Prime Day. Prime Day gave US online shopping a 6% boost this year, with sales nearly reaching $13 billion, according to Adobe Analytics. Notes our very own retail briefings analyst, Rachel Wolf. That $13 billion includes money made on Prime Day, July 11th and 12th, from other retailers, not just Amazon. She explains the average order size ticked up to $54 from $52 last year, according to Numerator. And 2 out of 3 households placed at least 2 orders. However, the question is, name one of the 3 so potentially three that you can choose from, but just name one of the three top-selling categories on Prime Day. Name one of the three top-selling categories on Prime Day. There's Slack answers coming in. Yuri says electronics. Max says consumer electronics. And Karina also incorrectly says electronics. It was actually home goods, household essentials, and apparel and shoes were the top sellers, apparently. I was surprised to see that as well. So folks, why do we think that these were the top three selling categories and not electronics, like I would have guessed as well?
I think discount size and depth is probably a big part of it. I haven't dug into data on this, but anecdotally, when I was kind of combing through the offers, it seemed like a lot of the consumer electronics stuff relative to previous years was a little lighter. So, 12 to 15% off, AirPods or something is nice, but it's not going to make me, sit up straight in my chair. Whereas, a pair of sneakers available for 55 or 60% off is definitely, why people are sitting at their computers on the morning of Prime Day in the first place. So that would be my guess. I should have just based my answer purely on my own behavior, but because all I ever buy on Prime Day is discounted sneakers, much to my wife's dismay.
I think it's really interesting to see household essentials in there as well, because I think that really reflects consumer sentiment at the moment. Yep. I think that's a really interesting development that people are waiting for sales like Prime Day to buy their essentials.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Shoppers, it was fascinating to see as well. Shoppers are comparison shopping more. Half of folks who shopped on Amazon for Prime Day compared prices with other retailers. Half of folks, that's way up from 2021 when one third did. So a lot more people comparison shopping. All right, folks, let's move to question two. I'm talking about ad spending. So when will US ad spend feel better? So the US ad market spending grew in May for the first time in 11 months, according to Standard Media's US ad market tracker, jumping 2.5%. Seems low, but the tracker fell into the red last July 2022 and has stayed submerged every month ever since, battered by high inflation, rising interest rates, and plenty of uncertainty. This year, our forecasting team expect the US ad market to grow nearly 4%. That is down from 8% last year. So 8% last year, 4% this year for US ad spend. But the question is, does our forecasting team expect next year's US ad spending growth rate to be higher, lower, or roughly the same as this year's 4%? Do we expect next year's US ad spending growth to be higher, lower, or about the same as this year's 4%? What do we think? So Max says higher, Karina says higher, and Yuri also correctly says higher. It is indeed over 8% you're expecting from next year. 4% this year, over 8% next year. So 8, 4, 8 going from last year, this year, next year for US ad spending. Max, you're on the digital ad team for us. What are your thoughts about some of the reasons why we're stuck at 4 this year and bouncing up to 8 next?
Well, I think that the second part of the question is easier to answer than the first. Next year, we'll have a presidential election and an Olympics. Those are reliable bumpers for any ad market. I actually think it's sort of a sign of how persistent we think the malaise is going to be, that we expect it only to bump up 8%, especially because of how tepid it's going to be this year.
Yeah.
Really, there's a lot of things dragging things down. The inflation is a really big piece of it. A lot of it, too, is the kind of measurement challenges that we see in lots of areas that are driving lots of incremental spending. So things like retail media, things like social video, and also a lot of kind of uncertainty hanging over the web display markets, which are about to get turned upside down by Google deprecating support for third-party cookies.
Yeah, lots of events, as Max said, Paris Olympic and Paralympic Games, the US presidential election, the UEFA 2024 UEFA European Football Championships. And then, yes, 8% next year for total US digital ad spending, digital, which has obviously grown incredibly strong last however many years, 8% this year, going up to 11% next year. It's not the kind of bump you'd expect from digital, but maybe this is the new normal for digital growth, especially considering that it's about 70, 75% of the pie at this point. TV will actually have a bit of an upswing, going from negative 8% in ad spend this year to plus one for next year, which for TV will be pretty impressive.
Thank your local presidential and congressional candidate for that one.
Yep. So everyone's off the board. 1 point apiece. So we go into question three in the round. Are people traveling as much as they used to? We're talking some travel. So a recent Economist article notes tour operators are inundated with bookings. Hotel chains are raking in record profits. They say major low-cost European airline EasyJet keeps raising its earnings forecast, and International Airlines Group and Ryanair are both back in the black following the pandemic. All told, 2023 worldwide tourist arrivals, are expected to reach 95% of pre-pandemic levels, up from 63% in 2022. This was a prediction from the UN's World Tourism Organization. But things are still expensive, and folks aren't flush with discretionary income as they continue to reel from high inflation. The question is, in your home market, so Karina, for you, that's the UK, Max and Yuri, the US, in your home market, what was the inflation rate in June? In your home market, what was the inflation rate in June? So Max and Yuri are going for a different answer than Karina. Karina very specifically says 7.9%. Max says 4, and Yuri says 3.3. So Yuri gets the point because it's, 3%. Max, you're a little far away with 4. So yeah, it was 4% last month, 3% this month, and Karina 0.2 for 7.9. So Karina and Yuri get a point. Max, close, but no cigar. Yeah, both fell a point. US and UK inflation both fell a point, but the UK fell from closer to 9 to closer to 8. The US fell from 4 to 3. That's May to June. Most other major economies are lower than the UK. Germany, 6.4. India, about 5. France, 4.5. Japan, just over 3. Karina, in the UK, to see it still that high, given that in the US it was about 9% last summer at the peak of things, I mean, how is the consumer sentiment around inflation at this point? Is it, well, it's come down so people are feeling a lot better, or is it still, considering it's stuck at 8, pretty harmful for people's wallets?
I think actually consumer spending has been remarkably resilient despite really high inflation in this country. And inflation is high here because we've had the impact of the war between Russia and Ukraine. That's affected the whole of Europe, really. We've had food inflation in double digits. And then in the UK, we've also had the implications of Brexit to deal with, which has pushed up prices in some areas. So I think actually we've seen quite resilient spending. I think, though, that not only is inflation quite high, but interest rates have also been going up, and that is also going to increase costs for homeowners. So I think that people are going to be slightly encouraged that inflation is not increasing so quickly, but prices are still rising. So I don't think we're going to see everyone suddenly rush out to spend their money.
It's funny. I feel like in the US, there's a lot of cautious optimism that the second half of this year is going to be a little less rocky than the first. But I feel like every time I think about the UK, I imagine it kind of going the opposite direction, just because, you know, when the winter shows up, everyone's got to heat their homes again, and energy prices are, I think, probably still going to be bananas in the UK. Like, does that sound right to you, Karina and Marcus? What do you guys see on the horizon for the UK?
It sounds about right. I mean, from an energy perspective, we're in a better place than we were. Energy prices have come down quite a lot, although I think European gas prices have started to go up again a little bit, but we are in a better place. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, the cost of fuel is much, much higher than it was, and that's having a big impact on people's budgets.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Karina's spot on. I'm over in the UK at the moment. And yeah, one of the main things that I've heard in conversations in the last week is people saying, hey, my energy bill did just go down by a heck of a lot, which is some reprieve, but things still aren't fantastic. Let's move to our final question of the round, folks. We're talking about Threads, of course. Threads is here. Meta-owned Twitter rival Threads launched at the start of July to much fanfare. The new conversation app lets folks post twice as many characters and videos that are twice as long as Twitter. But as of right now, Threads has no direct messaging capabilities, hashtags, or post-editing features. The question is, though, who did Threads take the most rapidly downloaded app crown from? Who did Threads take the most rapidly downloaded app crown from? What do we think, folks? Max says TikTok. Karina says Temu. And Yuri correctly says ChatGPT. ChatGPT is the answer. So it took ChatGPT 2 months to reach 100 million users. TikTok took them 9 months, I believe. But yeah, ChatGPT is the answer. All good guesses, though, folks. So Yuri gets the points, and we've finished. I never knew that. Let's take a look at the scores before we head to the next round. Yuri out in front with 3 points. No one should be surprised, given his previous performance. Karina has 2. Max has 1. There's still plenty to play for, folks. We move, of course, to the second round. It's called Spoilt for Multiple Choice. So this is the multiple choice round where we dig a little deeper into one of the topics from round one. This month, we'll focus this round on Threads trivia. So 1 point for a correct answer, 3 questions in this round. Question one, Threads was able to acquire over 100 million users within a week after launching, in large part because Meta made it really easy to set up a Threads account for Instagram users. Some estimates have Threads at over 150 million users already. Twitter, who Threads is seen to be going up against, has 360 million users worldwide, 360 million users worldwide. However, we forecast that that number is falling, has been since last year. The question is, over the next 2 years, so by 2025, over the next 2 years, how many users do we estimate Twitter will lose worldwide? How many users do we estimate Twitter will lose worldwide over the next 2 years? 10 million, 20 million, or 30 million? 10, 20, or 30? Answers coming in. Yuri says 10. Max says 20. Karina says 20. The answer is 30 million. 30 million somehow. I think it's 10 million in the US. So I think, Yuri, you said 10 million. That's correct for the US. Worldwide, we're expecting a rather surprising 30 million users to stop using Twitter. For context, Twitter has that 360 million users. Snapchat has twice as many worldwide. TikTok has nearly 3 times as many as Twitter worldwide. But we are expecting Twitter users to fall. Folks, what have we made of the arrival of Threads? Max, I think I've talked to you about this on one of the weekly listens, but Karina, Yuri, any thoughts on the platform and its staying power?
It's a little early to tell, I think. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't have a lot of the features that X has. I guess we have to start using X, right?
Oh, yeah, we do.
The logo has popped up onto the site. But I think they'll iterate pretty quickly. I'm unsure, though. I don't think it's a slam dunk that it'll be able to have staying power.
Mm-hmm. Karina, any buzz in the UK about this new app?
A little bit, but I'm kind of with Yuri in that I'm a bit skeptical at the moment about it.
Yeah, maybe it's too soon. It's only a few weeks in in this instant gratification culture. We want answers. We want them now. Question two. Let's go there. We're still talking about Threads. So in one of our latest reports, it's from a principal analyst who covers social for us, Jasmine Emberg. She writes that Twitter and Instagram have plenty of user overlap. So there are plenty of folks who use both Twitter and Instagram, plenty of overlap. But the question is, what share of US Instagram users used Twitter as of June last year? So this is months before Elon Musk's takeover. So what share of US Instagram users used Twitter? So if there are 100 Instagram users in America, how many of them used Twitter as well as Instagram as of June last year? This is according to our US Digital Trust Benchmark survey. Was it 42% of Instagram users who used Twitter? Was it 57%? Or was it 75%? 42, 57, or 75? So answers are in. Yuri says 57%. Max says 42, and Karina says 57. The correct answer is 57%. So Karina and Yuri get a point apiece, 57% in terms of overlap.
You were going to have to scrub my presence out of this episode. This is not look good.
We'll just cut your whole section out.
Yeah, this is the joy of having access to all of our forecasts at the tip of the finger. I don't have to retain it in my brain. I can just look them up. I will say, though, I mean, I think that just to, I don't want to kind of rehash the rant I uncorked about Threads in that weekly listen episode, but I think that
Max doesn't think it's going to be around for very long.
I do not. I mean, they basically, it's funny, you during that conversation, you brought up Lemonade, which was supposed to kill Instagram after ByteDance introduced it. And I'm pretty sure that Lemonade is already on life support. I mean, it's basically all of these copycat apps essentially, I think, struggle for a lot of similar reasons, which is that they don't have a clear use case that is appealing enough to the core user base. So saying it's like Twitter, but without the news and politics is, you know, to me, not a very appealing brand proposition at all. Mm-hmm. Certainly not for, you know, a large scale social platform. So I think that that's something that is going to be a significant challenge to them, you know, as they continue to roll forward.
The difference with Lemonade is that people are desperate for an alternative to Twitter right now, or a lot of people are. So there's a big desire for jumping onto something, but you know, there's the network effect isn't there yet. So who's going to be the first one there? It could be Blue Sky, it could be Mastodon. I don't think Mastodon's ever going to do it, but it could be Threads. But I think there is going to be an alternative to Twitter. I just don't know which one's going to win out and at what time.
I wonder if the alternative is TikTok or Instagram. I mean, it's not the same platform, obviously. They're not head-to-head competitors, but in terms of time spent, maybe people, again, spend less time there. They take that time elsewhere.
I think there's a version of events where it's something like Discord, too. Mm. The sort of user paradigm is different, but it is a place where you can chat along about, I think about the sort of way that I use them. Like one of the sort of key things that I first fell in love with Twitter for is being able to sort of use it as a kind of running chat room when watching sporting events. And Twitter is still great for that, but I'm in a couple Discord servers that have effectively replaced that, you know, when I watch certain teams and leagues. So, you know, if Discord can kind of carefully build something where there's maybe, you know, one room or server that's great for, you know, the presidential debates, for example, or other big tent political moments, it might be able to carve some share out too, but we'll have to see.
It's nice to talk through your feelings when you watch the Knicks lose so regularly. So I can see why that would.
Definitely, it helps me get it all out. Yeah.
All right, folks, let's move to question three. Final question of the round. So Twitter traffic fell in the first days of Threads launching, according to data from SimilarWeb and Cloudflare. Over that time, the first few weeks of Threads launching, over that time, over half of US Twitter account owners, half of them, said they were very or somewhat likely to try Threads in the next few weeks, per Ipsos. But which group of folks was most likely to try Threads in the few weeks after it launched? Which group of folks was most likely to try Threads in the few weeks after it launched? Was it A, creators, B, Twitter account owners, or C, Instagram account owners? Which group of folks was most likely to try Threads? Creators, Twitter account owners, or Instagram account owners? Last person.
Sorry.
You know who you are. Karina says creators.
I had a bit of a delay in understanding the question. It took a while to filter into my brain.
It was not my best written question. They're all pretty rubbish.
Yeah, the delivery was
okay. I was just trying to be nice, Karina. Don't pile on. Max says creators. Karina says creators. And Yuri says creators. You're all correct. It's, of course, creators. You guys all get a point. Overall, 34% of the total group of folks surveyed said they were likely to give Threads a whirl in the few weeks after it came out. So a third of people saying they'll give it a try. Also, quite interesting, so this is from an Ipsos survey, 17% of US Twitter account owners, so nearly one in five US Twitter account owners, were very likely to or already had migrated their Twitter activity to Threads. So I thought that was interesting. Some folks
saying
they're already over there. They probably, yeah. All right, folks, that's all we've got time for the second round, spoiled for multiple choice. Let's check the scores. After two rounds, Yuri still out in front with 5, Karina with 4, but Max is just behind that with 2. There's, of course, all to play for as we move into our highest scoring round. It's closest wins. So this is the round where the closest guess wins the most points. 3 questions. The closest guess gets 3 points, second closest gets two, furthest gets one. So Max, even though you're at the back, within a question or two, you could be leading. So it's all to play for still. If you get the first one wrong, then you're probably in real trouble and no real point of continuing on. But for now, you're in good shape. So we start with question one, and we're referring back to three of the topics that we talked about in the first round. So Prime Day, ad spend, and travel. There are three questions. So first question in closest wins, Prime Day, talking about Prime memberships. What share of US or UK, based on your home market, what share of your home market, US or UK, households have a Prime membership according to our forecasts? What share of US or UK households have a Prime membership according to our forecasts? What do we think? Yuri says 70. Max says 40.
It's too late to ask now, but is this closest
without...
Max,
do you
without...
live in America? My goodness, man. 40? Sorry, go on. What's your question?
Is this highest without going over or just closest to the number, whether you overshoot it or not?
Yeah, just closest to the number, yeah. Yeah, so it's the point, the differential, plus okay. minus differential, yep.
Max is playing Price is Right rules.
A lot of people play all kinds of... Someone, yeah, people think they're playing all kinds of game shows that that they're not actually on. So Yuri almost hit it right on the nose. Yuri said 70. The answer is for the US is 71. Yuri said 70. So he was one percentage point away. Max was, well, you know.
I was teasing. I
it
was
wasn't
teasing.
Close. Yeah, it was really, I was kidding. It was really far away. Max said 40%. That's miles away. Karina said 70%. The answer for the UK is 64. So Karina was just six off. So Yuri is first, Karina second, Max is a horrendously distant third. But yeah, so the answers are 71% of households have Prime in the US and 64% in the UK.
I had the US figures in my brain there.
Mm. Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, you did indeed. But both quite high shares. The US continuing to climb. The UK's share is kind of flattening out now. But the US will get to, I think, 75% in a couple of years' time, which is just insane. We move to our second question of the round. We're talking ad spend again. We're talking about mobile ad spend specifically. What share of all advertising dollars in the US, UK? So what share of all advertising dollars in the US or the UK, for Karina, are spent on mobile? What share of advertising dollars in the US or UK are spent on mobile?
That's all advertising, not just digital.
Total. Yes, indeed. Yep. Good clarifier. Karina says 35. Max says 51. And Yuri says 45. Very close indeed, gents. Karina, you're way off. The real answers. So it's 49% in the US, 49% in the US. So Max was just two off. Yuri with his answer was just four off. Karina in the UK, it's 61%. So Karina was, we won't give it a numerical value. We'll just say way off. But Karina was well way off. So Max gets 3 points. Yuri gets two. Karina gets one. So very nice, folks. Yeah, the US will cross the 50% mark next year for mobile share of total ad spend, which I was quite surprised to see it hadn't reached halfway. The UK, yeah, out in front with 61% share for mobile. All right, folks, we're on to our final question of the round. Let's check the scores. Yuri is way out in front. He's actually won. So, Yuri, if you want to sit this one out, you're welcome to. Or you can play, win this question, and crush your opponent. So it's up to you. Yuri has 10 points. Karina has 7. Max has 6. So we're playing for silver, folks. We're playing for silver and bronze. So we're talking about travel for the final question. Travel intentions, more specifically. Travel news and guides website, The Vacationer, asked Americans in May where they intended to travel this summer. Where they intended to travel this summer. The options were domestic only, international only, both, fancy, and I won't travel. But what share said domestic only? What share of Americans in May said that they intended to travel this summer, but domestic only? No one has any idea because there are no answers. Here they come. Max says 36. Karina says 55. And Yuri apparently conducted the survey because he spot on with 62%. The answer is 62%. Yuri, that's too accurate. Why are you cheating?
Yeah, Yuri, I'm starting to get a bit suspicious now.
That, believe it or not, I was a lucky guess. I've had 60. I was like, let's put a little twist on it.
I nearly went for 61, and then I decided it was going to be too high. So I'm
you've got to go instinct here. You've got to go instinct. So Yuri gets 3 points, Karina gets 2, and Max gets 1 point for that final rounds. So yeah, 62% said domestic only, 17% said both, just 6% said international only, and 15% of people said they won't be traveling this summer. All right, folks, let's head to the scores. We don't need the entirely two random tiebreak question. We move straight to the leaderboard, and of course, no surprises, because he'd already won halfway through the round. But Yuri, he is the winner of this week's quiz of the something. I don't know what it's called. The title's too long. But Yuri wins. He gets the gold medal and 3 super duper points. Congratulations to him.
Thank you.
In second place, you may have worked it out, but Karina takes the silver and 2 super duper points for her team for retail. And Max comes in a lowly third with a bronze medal and 1 super duper point. Close between you guys at the back, but that's how the cookie crumbles, as no one says. Well played, folks. Thanks for playing. So let's look at the total scores. Where's the total leaderboard? So over here, Stuart, have you updated it already?
Updated.
Wow.
Updated.
Finally doing your job, sir. Thank you.
I'd also like to say that Yuri is in high contention for MVP.
He is, yeah.
He's definitely leading the MVP race.
He is indeed. We will be giving away a Most Valuable Player Award, of course. We will not be calling it the Michael Jordan Trophy because that's bias. Poor LeBron James. We'll call it the Mark Dolliver Award. For folks who have been with the company for a while, long-time listeners, you know what I'm talking about. Mark Dolliver used to work for the company, always on the weekly listen, most valuable player of everything.
It will be a great honor to whoever wins it to end a Mark Dolliver.
All right, folks, let's check the overall scores, the total points leaderboard for the teams. So Max was representing advertising and media. He took home the bronze, 1 super-duper point, bringing his team's total to 6. Karina brought home the silver, 2 super duper points, and she was playing for retail. That brings their overall total to 9. And Yuri, who was playing for social marketing and tech, brought home 3 super duper points again. Really, Yuri, you should just come on every week because your team's really letting you down. 9 points total for that team as well. 3 super duper points for Yuri gives the team a total of 9. So you would have worked out that social marketing and tech are tied with 9 as well, alongside retail. And advertising and media is way back.
We're going to mount a furious comeback as you wait. And by we, I mean someone else on my team, because I'm clearly no good at this.
Well, thank you guys so much for playing today. You've been great sports. Congratulations to Max.
Always a pleasure, Marcus.
Congrats to Karina.
Thanks, Marcus. Fun to be on.
And most congrats, of course, to Yuri.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you guys so, so much for being part of this month's quiz. Thank you, of course, to Victoria, who edits the show and fashions the cup. Thank you to James, who copy edits the show, and Stuart, who runs the team and is finally getting good at keeping the score. Thanks to everyone listening. We'll be back with the August quiz at the end of August. We hope to see you tomorrow, though, for the Behind the Numbers weekly listen, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Verisk Marketing Solutions.